Welcome to In It to Win It. This is Steve Barton, and thank you for tuning in. Today, we have the Economic Ninja.
Hey, guys. How are you doing? Oh, wait. There we go.
There you go. Got to do the snap.
How are we doing?
Excellent. Thanks for coming on the show.
Absolutely.
Yes. You've had a meteoric rise on YouTube. I started watching you when I think you had between 10 and 15,000 subscribers. You're up to almost 250,000. So well done, sir.
Thank you.
And that's
very
that's,
lucky.
That's after, I think, just a little over a year.
Yes.
And fastest growing financial channel. Maybe give us three tips on a guy that's starting to try to gain more subscribers.
Be yourself. Don't try and be someone that's fake. Show up every day. It's consistency. And then be genuine. It's pretty much number one. That is it. It's just being real and sharing your strengths and your weaknesses, I believe, are very, very important in a world where most people just want to show their best glamorous side or their awesome food that they're eating. That's total crap. Let's just show the truth. And if this last 10 years has taught us anything, is that the truth is what people are seeking.
Yeah. I started my entrepreneurship journey by selling keychains door to door as a little kid. And then I sold sodas in school. And that's how I bought my first car when I was 14. Do you have like a similar?
Yeah. So I started selling candy at sixth grade. I moved into auto detailing when I was 15, bought my first car detailing cars. I would actually, even before that, when I was probably, I want to say 13, would drive around or walk around town and with a bucket soap and rags and charge people like $5 to wash their cars. And then I moved into a baseball card shop, and then it just kept getting bigger and bigger.
That's cool. Yeah. I used to do lawns. I would push the lawnmower around to do the same thing. And then before I was able legally to drive, I hope my parents aren't finding out about this right now, but I would borrow my dad's truck when I was like 12 and drive it around the neighborhood.
Nice. Very nice. Yeah. Where there's a will, there's a way. And the sad thing is that people, I think that's been lost. There's a lot of young people that are just not taking advantage of that. And even older people like ourselves that are going, hey, you know, you could start a side hustle right now and make a lot of money on the side.
Yeah. Now this is a first world problem. I got a little puddle jumper plane, but I can't find a kid in the last 2 years that's willing to wash it. And there used to be a plethora of them. They'd come up and ask me, and I feel like it was since COVID, they just stopped. I don't know why.
Yeah. So my son had a little plane washing business to get him through getting his pilot's license. Now he has a puddle jumper too. And so he's flying more than he's washing. Let's put it that way. But that's how he started
right now.
No, he's a pilot. He went and became a pilot all on his own. He became a pilot when he was 17.
Nice.
And yeah, so now he has his own little plane. But that's how he started, was washing planes.
That's cool. I got a little 150. What's he got?
Hronka Champ.
Okay.
So, really lightweight. I'm too big for it, so I don't get to fly with him. But no, but it's an awesome little plane.
It is. It allows you a completely different lifestyle. Like I went out to Parker, Arizona for the weekend. Only spent a day and a half there and flew back, but to drive that, it eat up half your trip. You know?
Yep. Yeah. And he can do the same thing. He's looking to get his float endorsement in Lake Havasu, actually down near Parker pretty soon.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Very cool. Very cool. All right. I've been warning my listeners for probably 6 months about food and supply chain issues. We've since stocked up on non-perishables. I just bought a big freezer. I filled it with half a cow.
Oh, nice.
What are your thoughts on food and supply chain issues going forward?
Well, it's funny. I actually don't know of a time where food went down in price. Over the long haul, food always goes up, sometimes very slowly, but it's because of the destruction of the purchasing power of your currency, right? Whether it be dollars, yen, euros, anything, right? So being a stocked ahead always saves you pennies, but right now we're turning into, it's going to be saving you dollars and maybe even more than that in the coming months. And the reason why is because, yeah, the supply chain has absolutely been crippled ever since 2020, but also because of geopolitical threats and, you know, wars, rumors of wars, next coming up with China. Between China and Taiwan, when that takes off, and it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when, because China's already told us, I believe many trade agreements are going to be broken. We're going to have even more catastrophic issues with food supply. And then everything from just plants burning down. It's just weird. All those things are just catching fire. I'm going to be honest with you. I know a lot of firemen, and I've talked to some, and they go, yeah, that just doesn't make sense. It's happening way too quickly. So yeah, today is the day to be prepared.
I agree. And the beauty of this bet is if by some chance we're wrong, you're going to eat the food anyways.
Yeah, literally there's no loss. There's nothing. Like the only, I don't have to go to the grocery store today. Sweet. give me my canned soup and I'm happy. So yeah, but the thing is everybody knows in their gut, because inflation now is at the headline of every news channel because it's a trending topic. So you know it's going to get worse before it gets better, especially now that the general public is hearing it all the time. They may not be doing something about it. But it's like, it's akin to my business partner and me. We knew this was coming ahead of time. In 2019, we had gotten ready, and we used to sit down in Costco on the back of the truck and just sit and watch the crowds. It was almost like a vindication at one point with us, but it was like, you know, wow, this is really happening. And it's going to be like that. It's going to be like the toilet paper crisis 2.0, but with food.
Yeah, I agree. What you mentioned currency and it's getting devalued. Can you kind of do a little 1 minute class on that?
Yeah, very simply, every day the Federal Reserve prints more money. They have something called the fractional banking system, which allows a currency to be created through the invention of debt. Every time somebody takes out a mortgage at the bank, currency is literally created into existence. And so over the long haul of every fiat currency, since there's nothing backing it of real value, like gold or even oil, right? We really aren't on a petrol standard, especially now that we lost the agreement with Saudi Arabia, 50 years, literally the week of signing it. What's happening is as more and more currency units are printed, we lose the value of our currency. Now, in the last 15 years, you haven't seen a lot of that because the Federal Reserve has monetized it. But now the Federal Reserve is in a position where like, oh crap, we got a lot of money on the books. And since we're a private bank, we better start doing something with it. So they've announced that they're going to start selling it into the market. Well, they actually can't do that. They tried to do it a week or so ago, and they barely got anything sold because the markets are crumbling. So over the long term of any fiat currency, it's always dying through inflation, and all currencies go to zero, which is their intrinsic value. The only reason we have perceived value right now is because everybody accepts the dollar, but you're already seeing other current countries right now walking away from the dollar, not only in trade, but also in like physical mom and pop stores that have signs that I've read say no dollars accepted here. So there's a lot going on, and that's really what people need to wake up to, is that these aren't just wars we're fighting, like Russia, Ukraine, China, and Taiwan. These are economic wars, silent wars, and they're happening right now. And that's why you're seeing the inflation starting to rear its ugly head.
Yeah. Yeah. And the Federal Reserve is not part of the government. It's its own central bank. Yep. And the title Federal Reserve would lead you to believe otherwise, but that's
Not federal, and it has no reserves.
Yes.
There you go. Surprise.
Yeah. Yes. You touched real quick on gold and silver. What do you what do you mean by that?
Well, let's tie in what we just said. The Federal Reserve is not federal and has no reserves. The book, The Wizard of Oz, was actually written about the crime of 1873. And the crime of 1873 is essentially when silver was demonetized. The Wizard of Oz tracks it perfectly. What most people don't realize is Dorothy's slippers were not red in the book. They were silver. And so Dorothy had to go down the yellow brick road with her silver slippers. She met the Wizard of Oz, which was a little man pulling all these strings in the Emerald City, the green city, like dollars are green. And then she had to tap her silver slippers to break the dream and go back to reality. The reality is in 1971, Nixon took us off the gold standard. And after that, preceding that action, we saw 10 years of amazing inflation, right? We saw two spikes in inflation. Somewhere between 1973 and 1975, we saw a run up in energy prices and subsequently inflation across the board. Then it came back down because of some monetary policy changes. And then we saw a spike again starting in 1978 and ended in 1981, which was the Paul Volcker moment where he spiked rates to go above the real rate of inflation to quell, if I have that word right, pronounced right, inflation, right? Now we have the exact same thing, but on cocaine. And literally, it is that. We have printed so much money just in the last couple of years. We've essentially doubled the monetary supply. I don't even remember the stats, but it's staggering how much money has been printed. The reason why you didn't see instantaneous hyperinflation like you did in the Weimar Republic of Germany decades and decades ago, almost a century now, is because that money, the velocity hasn't been there. Because the Federal Reserve bought it, bought up debt, they monetized debt, they stored it, and the money didn't exchange hands. Now we're starting to see money exchanging hands, not because the Fed has let these this monetized debt onto the street, but because other countries like China and other countries like Iran are starting to let go of their dollar holdings. They are getting it back in here. That's why you're starting to see where China's buying up businesses, buying up land. There's other countries too, because they need to figure out a place to put these dollars, and they're coming home to roost. And that's picking up money velocity. That's picking up inflation. And to bring you back to the dollar and the gold and silver issue, gold is up 15% since January of 2020. The stock market is up around 7%, right? Gold has outperformed the stock market since 2020, but it's also outperformed the stock market since the year 2000. So the facts are, people that aren't getting into gold and silver right now, even with these daily, like right now, we're seeing a big drop. And I wouldn't be surprised if you saw $1,700 gold, $18 silver in the next month or two, right? But the premiums are exploding because so many people are waking up and they're buying physical precious metals. So you're seeing that market, the free market, shooting up in the premium. So where you might look at the paper markets, the spot price, and go, well, it doesn't look to be doing much. Look at actual physical gold and silver. But even the paper markets, like I said, are up 15% in gold since 2020.
Yeah. I was explaining that to my aunt earlier this morning. She's like, well, is it a good time to buy? You know, maybe it's gotten cheaper. And I said, well, the premiums kind of follow what, you know, maybe you got a $5 premium on a ounce of silver, whereas 2 months ago, you only had a $2 premium, but you're still paying 26 bucks.
You know? Yeah. And actually, we've seen them balloon even more than that. We've seen a silver eagle, which is usually the primary, the most loved or purchased silver coin in America. We've seen those premiums go anywhere from $3.70 a few years ago to where I've seen them top out around $13 to $15. Wow. So on a percentage basis, the premiums have exploded. And as of right now, the recording of this video, I want to say an eagle still at around $10 over spot. So really, there is a massive upward pressure on those premiums simply because of the sheer amount of demand and how long it's taking to get your physical silver. Because there's so many people buying it.
Yeah. 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 I've stopped buying eagles and I'm just getting maple leaves and Philharmonics.
That's smart. Smart move.
Same amount of silver, might as well.
Exactly.
Okay. I got, I'm getting a lot of questions on housing.
Yes.
Some of the guys are asking me, I'm thinking about buying a rental property. It won't be cash flowing, but I think it will in the future. You know, in my mind, that's a terrible idea. If your expenses are $1,500 a month and you're not making more than that in rent, then you're essentially paying someone to live there. Like
those guys must live in Southern California.
They do.
There you go. No, and I bring that up for a very good reason. I'll dive right into it. California is a bubble, right? We're in a bubble in our personalities, in our investing, everything, right? We've had it so good for so long. A lot of people don't realize that California, one of the contributing factors to real estate being more expensive in our state as opposed to others is our property tax rate is extremely low, right? Where we'll be a little over 1% and New York will have somewhere upwards 4, 5, maybe even 6% in some counties, right? That puts downward pressure on the price rising in real estate. I saw that exact same mentality back in 2004, 2005, where people are like, look, I am just, all I care about is the appreciation. I don't care about my cash flow. I am now going to gamble. And that's what they're doing right now. And it's really neat when you see that, because that's when you know you're at the top. When people don't care about the downside and all they could see is the upside, and I'm literally willing to lose money on a monthly basis to get the big nut, then now you're sweet score. We're there. And the thing is even though I'm saying we're crashing, it's still going to take a few years to really bottom out.
Yeah. 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 It, you know, have you invested at all in this is off topic uranium?
Yes. So no, sorry. I'm in lithium right now. I wish I would have been in uranium. Ironically, I'm going to see Rick at that event. I don't know if you're going to be there.
Boca Raton, yes.
Yeah. And I want to learn about uranium. I know it's still got legs because countries all around the world are figuring out, even California, I think nuclear is the way to go. And they don't get it. Nuclear, I worked at a nuke plant. It is so green as, you know, when you're dealing with how much waste you've got to deal with, as opposed to how much energy it just produced, it is so green, it's insane. And we're starting to see countries reclassify nuclear energy as green. So I think uranium's got long legs. I have not been invested, but I know you have been. So kudos on that. But right now I'm mainly looking into lithium.
Okay. I haven't dived into lithium yet. I've thought about the ETF, LIT, or what's the other big company, Al Marley? But haven't
you had me at lit morning. Because now I could say is you just want to get lit, right? You're looking at the ETF. I invest in those companies off book or like through private placements, things like that. And so that's what I'm really interested in is the next movers and shakers. Again, why I want to go to Boca and learn more. But yeah, I think both lithium's on fire too. But yeah, I think uranium is going to be awesome the next couple of years.
I think so too. I think it might actually have a shorter term, maybe 2 to 5 years better than gold and silver. Maybe I'm wrong.
I wouldn't be surprised because gold and silver, remember, they always move last in everything because it is a currency collapse. It's a currency crisis. And we saw that in 1970s where you had those two spikes in inflation. Gold and silver didn't really go parabolic until 1980. And so people need to get that through. And that's why I get excited because I'm buying in weakness, not into strength, where right now you're already up on uranium. You're already making that move. I'm trying to take my better performing assets and put it into the dogs, like the dogs of the Dow, the old way of investing in, stock market indexes, you know, the dogs of the Dow. So that's what I'm doing.
Okay, right on. Well, awesome. Well, thank you very much, Ninja. This was a lot of fun. You can go to economicninja.org. Check out your YouTube channel, your new YouTube channel on Wall Street Ninja.
Yep.
Very cool.
Thank you.
It's a little more advanced, but I watched all your videos there. I think you're up to 7 or 8 right now. They dive in a lot more. I really like that one a lot.
No, thank you. And we're trying to bring the level of education up. I'm just trying to figure out how that flows with the Economic Ninja channel, because I actually am a little techie and do things that a lot of people don't do in investing, but it's like, well, how do we get people there? So the biggest thing is education, but it's also about finding time. As you know, it's this world's getting crazier and crazier and it's so hard to keep up.
Yeah. Right on. Okay. Well, you have a good rest of the day, sir. Thank you very much and take care.
Thank you so much. Have a great day, guys.